What should our songs sound like in a culture that has so much turmoil? The last couple of years in our culture have been super heavy. With a global pandemic, school shootings, violence, chaos, how can we worship through song in moments like these? How can our music, our worship through song, help us lament, help us grieve, help us process? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Today I welcome Paul Ranheim and Kirk Sowers. Paul is a minister and songwriter in Colorado with a heart for resourcing the church's worship through song and cultivating leaders. Kirk is a worship leader in Georgia with a passion to shepherd a diverse body of Christ through music. These guys collectively are known as the Woodrake Sessions, and their brand new album, From the Valley to the Golden Shore, is a collection of songs for the church that helps us worship our Lord through the cultural moments that we are facing in the world today. We recorded this interview a few weeks ago, right after the school shooting tragedy in Uvalde, Texas, and a shooting also occurred in Tulsa, Oklahoma, around the same time. You're going to hear the heart of these guys and how you too, as pastors, worship leaders, church staff, can help your people process some of the crazy things that we're seeing, heartbreaking things that we are processing as a church and as a nation. So we'll jump right in with Paul and Kirk in just a minute. Hey guys, I want to tell you more about Experience Conference. It's happening in Orlando, September 6th through the 9th. It's at the Disney Coronado Resort. You'll worship with my friends Mac Brock, Meredith Andrews, Jonathan Taylor, Thrive Worship, and more. You'll also hear from great speakers like Scott Longer, Eddie Hoglan, and others. I've spoken at this event. Our team will be there this year. Make plans to come September 6th through the 9th in Orlando. You can get tickets at experienceconference.com. That's experienceconference.com. Hey guys, today I welcome worship leaders and music artists Paul Ranheim and Kirk Sowers, known as the Woodrake Sessions. Their brand new album, From the Valley to the Golden Shore, is available now. Guys, welcome. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks, Carl. Good to be with you.
Joy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah man. So, Kirk, tell me a little bit about your background, how you guys started and started making music together. What kind of led you guys and motivated you guys to collaborate?
Yeah. So both Paul and I used to live in Nashville, and we both did songwriting in Nashville for a number of years. And we actually met on a songwriting retreat down in the hills of South Nashville. And we really just found we really enjoyed writing together and wrote a number of songs together during that time living there. Not too long actually after meeting each other, we both actually moved, and I took a call as a worship leader in Augusta, Georgia. And then Paul ended up in Longmont, taking a call as a church planter in Colorado, Longmont, Colorado. And but we stayed connected. And honestly, the start of the pandemic was just a sort of a reason we began to connect a lot more, except this time we were connecting on Zoom, and we connected and started writing really a lot of songs together via Zoom, 1,500 miles apart. So it was quite a different experience kind of than what we, you know, were originally used to writing together in person and collaborating. But just overall, we really enjoyed just writing together. And at the start of the pandemic, we were really beginning to process a lot together through that time and bring that into the songwriting process.
And Paul, you're a minister and a songwriter. You live in Colorado, right? Tell me a little bit about your role there.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I work with another pastor. The two of us are planting a church here in Longmont, and we kind of have a team pastoral model. And so I'm at the beginning here doing a lot of music for the church, And then over time, we'll step less and less, do less and less of the music and more the preaching and the kind of lead through the worship service. But yeah, still very much I'm a songwriter, and the church very much values me making music and writing music for the life of the church. So that's awesome. I spend a little bit of time every week trying to write music.
So Kirk, do you do worship? You're a worship leader full time there. That's your.
Yep. Yeah. Full time. That's my role here in Augusta at First Presbyterian downtown.
That's awesome. Awesome, man. So tell me the meaning, Paul, you can get this one. What's the meaning of the Wood Drake sessions?
Yeah, well, I mean, we wrote these songs for this project out of the upside down chaos of the pandemic. And we weren't necessarily trying to form a group or even make a record. We were writing songs that our hearts needed to sing. And the further we got into the project, the more we realized that these songs need to be shared. And so when you share something, you got to have a name. And so we thought about many different ways we could go. And we're just really struggling, honestly, to land on something. And I enjoy an author named Wendell Berry and his poetry. And I'd read through this poem called The Peace of Wild Things. And it starts off and says, "When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds, and I come into the peace of wild things." And just that idea of like him feeling like the fears and the tumult of the world in his house, and yet stepping out into this peaceful place that can reorient his heart and his mind. That's what we want these songs to do in the chaos of our own lives, to kind of bring us out to the pond out back and reorient us to what's truly beautiful.
Where are your churches at right now as far as stuff? Do you, are you guys back fully, and how has this whole season affected you guys?
Yeah, for myself, we're in the midst of trying to plant during the pandemic. Mm. And so we had one benefit we hadn't ever met before. And so we didn't have that routine yet. So it was really a matter of picking the perfect time. And so we delayed our launch until the fall of this last year, but we're meeting every week, and we've been meeting every week for 7 months, and it's going well.
That's awesome. Kurt, what about you guys?
Yeah. I would say, it feels close to normal at this point, to what it was pre-2020, with a few new added things in, just preventative measures and things like that. But overall, it feels, people have, for the most part, come back, and that's been a joy.
So you guys wrote this over Zoom. Tell me how those writing sessions went, and what were you feeling? What were the prayers? What were the, kind of take me into those sessions?
Yeah, maybe I could just piggyback off, your sort of your question about gathering. Early on, one of the songs we wrote, which is on our record, called "Oh How Good to Be Together," and we basically just wrote that looking, within the first couple of weeks we had experienced sort of the lockdown, like everybody else was in, and we felt it. We mourned it. I know I personally, really just, it was a hard time for me to be just sort of separated from people I love and separated. I realized quickly how deeply I needed, that time together with God's people week to week in worship. And, we mourned that, but we also wanted to write a song, that sort of looked in faith to how God would bring us back together. And not only that, but also just celebrate the sweetness of God's community, and the sweetness of God's faithfulness, to his community, to carry us from, what's actually ended up being our title track, or the name of our album, From the Valley to the Golden Shore, how God is keeping us and carrying us as God's people from the valley that we walk in all the way to the golden shore of his presence one day. And so, we just were, that's just an example of how we were processing a lot of really the time that we were sort of feeling and finding ourselves in. And it was just kind of funny experience. Zoom is so awkward. And especially early on, it's like, it's already awkward, all the delay that you kind of would always experience, or just random sounds that you're like, this is not going right, you know, that we've all experienced. But sort of once we sort of found our way through that awkwardness a little bit, we actually found writing over Zoom really doable. And there's actually some benefits I felt like we both found in the process of just being able to step away for a minute and think personally and come back and stuff that's a little harder in person, you know. So,
well, Paul, going off of that, I want to kind of dive into what worship looks like in the times that we're in. And even if we're getting back to normal, you know, I still want to, you know, there's still challenges. So what are some of the unique challenges, I guess, of writing worship songs that speak to this moment, whether that's pandemic or racial unrest, war, those types of things?
I mean, I feel like there's so much unique about this time. And at the same time, like, it's not unique. We go back to the Psalms, and I mean, there's so much unrest. There's these moments that the world seems upside down, that people are killing one another, or violence is just all around. So there's a unique expression in this current cultural moment, but so many of the themes are themes that we've seen back in the Psalms. I mean, I remember with this early pandemic, it was just feeling like the world was upside down. And I mean, I remember thinking about Psalm 46, man, it feels like the land might just fall into the heart of the sea, and needing to remember, like, no, we have a God, like, who never shakes and never will. He's the strong mountain. I think during some of the racial unrest that we've experienced during this time as well. I mean, in all these things, we want to bring our whole heart and our whole experience, and not try to like overly spiritualize the songwriting process, but actually bring like our real true cares, the things that we encountered in the world, into the heart of songwriting. And those themes have certainly made it into our songs, whether it's some of the pandemic themes that were under Never Shakes, Never Will, or Oh, How Good to Be Together, or some of the racial themes and immigration or violence and unrest that made it into songs like I See a King or Tender and Mighty. I think as we are leading worship, we need to be honest about the world that we live in. I mean, even thinking back to this last week, some of the just horrible shootings down in Texas, like, I mean, the Psalms give us time and time again, like, examples of what lament, like how we can grieve and even complain to the Lord. If over a third of the Psalms are lament, then we need to figure out how we can give voice to the real troubles, the things that really were going on in our world that cause our hearts and our minds anxiety. And we need to figure out how to give voice to them. And I think that's in many ways what this whole project has been about, is how do we give voice to the real troubles of our hearts and minds, the anxieties that seem to cripple us, and express them to God in a way that sometimes is like complaint. Like the Psalm says, like, God, why have you left me? Why have you forgotten me in times of trouble? And also in times that kind of remind us confidently, like, and at the same, to be able to say, and at the same time, you are the God who never shakes and never will. You're a God who's both mighty and tender. And so that's really been the pairing of how we tried to, I think both of us would try to walk into any worship service, but certainly write these songs, of how we've tried to write them, not to simply give a pure, happy, golden shore aspect, but we really want to bring the valley into this. I remember even talking to the artist, if you look at the cover art, kind of has this boat going through this big valley filled with water, and there's this beautiful shore in the distance. And I said, man, like, this project, like, I need there to be like wreckage in the front of the art on the cover, because I want this, like, all these songs, like, I want the real troubles of life to be expressed in these songs. And that's what we fought for. And I want that in the cover as well. So I don't know, that you feel free to ask more questions, but there's the general idea.
Kirk, how does that relate to your worship leader? Talk to other worship leaders and how what you guys have done with this project can relate to them. They can, you know, how they are wrestling with some of the same things you guys did.
And that's a great question. I think, You know, I was actually, as Paul was talking, I was thinking about a line in one of our songs that struck me, particularly last week, that kind of in a fresh way. And it's in the song Tender and Mighty. And it's the start of the second verse says, "Lord, we lay weary from blood in our lands. Rock us as infants, our rock of defense." And there's just something about that line that was just striking me so much this past week, just because I felt that. I felt weary. I just felt so discouraged. I still feel discouraged today when I think about, you know, Texas and just all this, I mean, stuff that's still going on, Tulsa. And so it's overwhelming. And so I think to that thought, just trying to find music that helps connect to the, not only just the hope that we have in God, but we also have to connect our pain and our struggle and our questions to God. And I would just always really encourage, you know, worship leaders to really, from a song standpoint, find music that engages our questions, find music that engages our hurts and our pains, that doesn't, not necessarily disconnected from hope. We want to connect it to the hope we have in the Lord and in Christ. But that would just be my encouragement, and especially in these times, it's like, just find those songs that will help, and think about the songs that will help shepherd the real things going on in the hearts of people, you know, week to week. I just really encourage that. And I'm always learning and growing in that place as well, just trying to figure out how to do that versus just finding the songs that always sound great, or, you know, or just really thinking intentionally about that.
Paul, how does that relate to pastors? How would you encourage pastors in sermon writing and caring for their people through times like this?
Yeah, I think we have to remember that we have a Savior who's both about the death and the resurrection. I often think about Jesus sitting at the tomb of Lazarus, about to raise his friend from the dead. Hope was right around the corner, and yet he paused to grieve because it was worth grieving over. Death is never a good thing. Death is not the way it's supposed to be. And we need to remember that we have a Savior who still grieves with us. We have a song called Grace Will Prevail on our record. It's one line that stands out, and it says, "He's with us and weeps by our side till the day they forever run dry." Like, yes, there is hope, and we need to point our people to hope, whether it's in songs or in preaching. But we also need to be very, very careful not to diminish the griefs or the hurts or the wrongs in our world or in the hearts of our people. We need to be pastors and worship leaders who see it and recognize it for the wrong that it is, and pause to grieve. I think it's something that's uncomfortable, but pause to like sit and grieve in it. Maybe be people who weep with those who weep, and be those who hope with those who hope. And so I would say for pastors and worship leaders alike, to lean into the grief, to lean in and look to the heart of God, who he calls us to weep with those who weep, because he is that kind of God, because he weeps with us as well. And so learn to grieve, learn to sit in the anger and the sadness, to admit it, to name it, and then from it, and only from it, to then be able to apply the hope of the gospel.
Kirk, how is our faith, and we've kind of hit on this some, but how is our faith strengthened when we worship through song, whether that's individually or corporately?
Oh, man. Well, music has a way of sticking to our soul, and in a good song, you know, I've shared personal experience. A song that's really carried me through many years now is the hymn "Before the Throne of God Above." And particularly the second verse, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. And it's like, I just feel like music has the power to really stick a gospel truth to your heart in a way that just not only helps you know what is true, but to feel it and to feel the truth. And I know we, a lot of times, especially in our project, that's been a goal, is just we want to be informed with a good theology in these songs. That's so important to us, and we certainly tried to that end. But we also want people to feel. We don't want to just know about forgiveness, but we want people to feel forgiveness. We don't want just people to know about God's power, but feel it. And there's something so powerful in song that does that. And then especially in the context of a community where we can sing it together, there is a work that God does in those moments where we sing together and we hear one another and we join as one in one voice to sing of the power of God or the goodness of God. And not only sing it to God, but encourage and sing to one another as well.
Let's talk about how the songs on the album and in general have the importance of being grounded in Scripture. I think that is a can be a complaint or a critique of more modern music, as it's, you know, what is it, the seven words sung 11 times, 7-11 songs, things like that are just, you know, repetition. And I'm not going to judge that either way. I'm just saying, how do you guys handle, you know, how your songs are really grounded in Scripture?
That's a great question, Paul.
I'll jump in.
I can take it too.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think we certainly want our songs rooted in Scripture. I mean, I think most of the songs on this record had some sort of at least one, if not multiple, scriptural sources that we were drawing from, and trying to not do it verbatim, but trying to bring some creativity and to modernize the lyrics. I mean, the Psalms at one point they were written for a particular moment, a context, a place. And we want to follow that pattern and say, hey, how do we take scriptural truths that are timeless and unending and yet put the language of right now, of this moment into them? So, I mean, I think through and through, I think songs that are rooted in Scripture are going to be much more directive, more helpful. And also, I mean, I think the more that you dive into Scripture, the more you'll see that there's a breadth of topics that are covered. And we need songs that cover such a broad variety. I mean, I think I look back to some old hymnals, and you can just look through the index of the amount of topics that are covered. And it's pretty robust. I think there's still some things that get missed in old hymnals, but it's a pretty robust amount of topics. And I would love to see the same thing happen in a modern context as well. I think our topics have narrowed down dramatically. And I think when we start trying to write songs from Scripture, it opens up the amount of subjects that we're willing to and to be inspired to write on.
Right. Kirk, you want to speak to that too?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I mean, I really think we, and especially with our approach with the album, and I think how we, you know, both view what we do as worship leaders, and Paul especially as a pastor, but I think what we see this project as something that's very we want to be pastoral with it to our, you know, we both have a heart for our church and just where we live and serving and helping shepherd God's people where we're at in our context. And so that can look, in you know, what that's supposed to look like in a song. I mean, that could look a million different ways, but I think you know, to the idea of like some of the repetition, I think we have a few times where we engage some more repetition in our music in this album. I can think of Grace Will Prevail as one spot where we just really dive into the to Jesus's statement, take heart, I've overcome the world. And I think we say that four times to ourselves, because one time isn't enough in that moment. It's like, we need to settle that one in our hearts. And we kind of wanted to do that with that song. And then there's other times where, we did the same thing with Never Shakes, Never Will. We really wanted to repeat the bridge in a more energetic way the second time, because the first time was awesome, but there's something about, we need a new energy to sing it a second time to settle in under our hearts. And so we both felt that. And I love that. I love that repetition. And you see repetition in the Psalms as well. But also, we don't necessarily feel the need to do that on every song necessarily. But I think ultimately, really, our heart in the music is, how can we, we're kind of coming from a personal place, like, man, how is this resonating with our hearts as we're writing it? And then how can we help take these songs and help shepherd others in the Lord, and to continue to love Him and enjoy Him and live long lives to serve Him?
So I think we're all, have some grieving a little bit with the, with the pandemic, however that hit us. And then, with the, recent Texas school shooting and Oklahoma stuff and just things that we see in the news, there's a heaviness at times. And so I love how you guys have done a project where it gives voice to us as we grieve, as we lament, as we think on these things and pray about them. All right, so a couple last questions for you, Paul. What is the most, as you're writing songs, what is some of the most rewarding things that come from songwriting?
Yeah, I think the two things come to mind. One is, it's super rewarding to be able to sing a song, and not only have it resonate with in my own heart, but then to see it resonate in other people's lives as well, to see other churches singing it, to hear the stories of like how the Lord's used these same words and same melodies to encourage others. So that's rewarding. I think the thing that's most surprising in terms of reward is how much these songs will come back and minister to me in ways that were completely unexpected. I think about the first song that we wrote for this project, a song called Grace Will Prevail. And Kurt came in with that title, Grace Will Prevail. I was like, man, that's a wonderful idea. Let's unpack that. And just thinking through all the ways, like, man, grace could prevail in all the most difficult seasons of life. And fast forward a couple of years to this last fall, my dad was really sick and was in the ICU. And I had just gotten my very first mix of Grace Will Prevail. And we'd come to a point in time that we knew my dad wasn't going to make it, and went up for my last visit, last time I got to see my dad alive. And I just received the song. And my dad has been a huge supporter of my music through the years. And part of my last conversation with him was being able to say, hey, Dad, let me share you this project. I wish you could hear the whole thing, but let me share you the piece that I can. And as I played Grace Will Prevail, it was ringing out the truth that that he believed in and I believed in, and what we both needed to hear, that even in the ICU bed with death on the doorstep, we both believe that grace will indeed prevail. That even there, Jesus weeps like at the tomb of Lazarus. And even there, there's a promise of resurrection hope to come. And that has been just such a beautiful way that the Lord has somehow used these songs so filled with truth to remind my heart and mind when I most needed it, that He is with us, He's present, and that His hope is in the darkest of valleys.
Mm. That's good. Kirk, what about you? What resonates as far as reward?
Yeah, probably the one, there's a few things, but I'll share one story. So my church is about 220 years old, give or take. And so there's a lot of history at our balcony. Originally held slaves in our sanctuary. And so one of the coolest things was just one night we had introduced our song, I See a King, to our congregation. And I See a King is just about this visionary song of God, the day that Jesus will perfectly reign every square inch of the earth in love. He's a king who rules with justice and equity. He welcomes the poor, the weak, the least of these, just the good and perfect and gracious king that he is. And so as we were singing that, we actually have a number of African-American pastors at our church, as well as some African-American staff staffing in our church. And so we were singing the song, I See a King, and just hearing the chorus fill the sanctuary, and looking up at the balcony where there used to be slaves 200 years ago, and seeing one of our African-American pastors worshiping to that song, that was just about broke me. It was just an amazing just kind of picture of God's redemption and how he just used this song to do that work in that way. And and so that was a cool story that was very rewarding for me.
Good. Paul, what is something that worship leaders and pastors, especially, maybe you can answer the pastor question, Kirk, you can answer as far as worship leaders go. What should we be paying more attention to? What should we be focusing on right now?
Oh, man. Kirk, you want to go first? That's a great question.
Just broadly speaking, or specifically with our songs, or
I would just say in this moment of culture, and coming out of the season that we have been in and propelling forward, what should be our focuses?
Right. I don't want to sound like a broken record with where we've been, but lamenting. I think often it's foreign to our worship service, and we need to lament, and we need to take songs to lament and find those spaces inside of our worship services to lament. At least a third of the Psalms is lament, and lament is just, we need to draw from the scripture to give us ourselves, our congregations, this language to walk through the pain that we're in right now. I mean, there is every week, it's something new. It really is. As of late, it feels like that the past few years. And, we've got to lament, and that would be my encouragement.
Mm. Paul, you want to speak?
Yeah, I'll say is kind of piggybacks on that a little bit. I think we need to encourage and train and lead our churches to grow in empathy. We live in such a divisive time, and we all know how polarizing things have become. And we need to lean against that and realize that the person that we're disagreeing with, on whichever side of the aisle or whichever side of the spectrum that we're talking about, is made in the image of God, that has a mind and has a heart and has an experience. And so to be able to lean that and teach, how can we be curious about people? How can we treat people with kindness and respect? And the more that we can begin to see and lead our people to see how empathetic of a God that we have, that he reaches not only across an aisle, he reaches across the greatest divide ever and hears our stories and knows our stories. He dresses in our clothing, wears our flesh and blood, that we might know his love and gospel. Man, we need more of that. We need to be trained in God's way of empathy, to hear people who are different. And lament is certainly a part of that. Being able to grieve with someone who's different than us is a part of that. I think I would say, lean into lament, lean into empathy.
Yeah, I would maybe just a quick add to that, not be too long, but I feel like a lot of our early songwriting days was sort of born out of this, like, we felt our hearts, at least I know I do, I felt my heart wanting to be divisive. And I was part of in this journey of songwriting is what does God want me to what does God want me to do? And what does God want me to believe? And how does he want me to move forward? And that's been so much, I feel like personally, a part of our journey, because it has been a very polarizing time. We're trying to figure out what's the right answer. And everybody's got an answer for that. But to lean into God and to lean into him during this time is so pivotal to create that space of empathy that Paul is talking about.
Good. All right, last question for you guys. Paul, why don't you start us off here? What is something that the church as a whole is doing really great right now? What are you really encouraged to see? There's a lot of critique right now. We mentioned divisiveness. Let's bring it up as we close. What are you really encouraged that you're seeing the church is doing?
I mean, one thing the church has done well for 2,000 years is it has gathered. It's gathered around the word and sacrament and prayer. And that continues. It continues in our country. It continues around the world. It continues kind of day in and day out. And we had this anomaly of a global pandemic that put a halt to the physical. I know pretty much every church still met digitally somehow. And I was encouraged by that too, that so many continue to gather to worship weekly. And I'm encouraged that God's people continue to get together. The word continues to be preached. We continue to pray to the Lord. We continue to gather around the Lord's table and remember his sacrificial love to us. I mean, it doesn't get any more basic and yet essential than those things. To be the gathered people of God around prayer, word, sacrament. I'm encouraged by that. I think that has to be the starting point, and that's where we're at. And so I am really encouraged by that.
Good. Kirk, you want to wrap this up?
Yeah. I think to that, divisiveness has been inside of the church, but I really have seen, even though, and maybe not divisiveness would not be the right word there, but disagreements have been inside of the church through these past couple years, but the church has continued to gather. And that's so encouraging, that we would, the church would find a deeper, sense of unity than what, you know, the other voices out there are trying to create. But I really do see the church pressing into our union in the Lord. And then, you know, I feel like I maybe speaking a little bit from a personal experience here, but I've really seen churches begin to really talk about justice and equity in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime. And I'm coming from a Deep South context. And so I don't know if I can necessarily speak this across the board, but I know in my context, I've never seen the church have these types of conversations. And it's been ugly and messy and imperfect for sure. But I've been very encouraged by the types of conversations we've had around equity and all those things, and justice, especially with what we've seen over the past couple of years.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for the time. Tell us how we can pick up the album. Where is it available? How can we follow you guys?
Yeah, it's available on all streaming platforms. You can follow us on Instagram. That's kind of our bread and butter, but we're also on Facebook. Please follow us on Facebook too. And you can subscribe to our YouTube. And Paul, any additions to that?
Yeah, if you want to purchase the album, you can go to the website. And if you want to stay up to date, you can also follow us on our newsletter. Yeah.
Also, for worship leaders too, we've got all of our resources for our songs, lead sheets, chord charts, number charts. It's all free on our website, thewooddrakesessions.com.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Carl. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, I want to share a testimony that we received from a custom client of ours recently. This is from Pastor Roscoe Lilly at Star Point Church. Roscoe says, "The 1230 team are a dream to work with. They are able to bring to life the vision of each project with excellence, allowing our team to focus on other aspects of ministry. Their team is very responsive to our needs, and the custom product is surprisingly economical. If you are looking for a partner in creating high-quality sermon bumpers and graphics, we highly recommend 1230. If you are a pastor like Roscoe and want to allow us to bring your graphics and video needs to life while you focus on pastoring your people, contact us today at 1230.media/custom. We would love to serve you. That's 1230.media/custom.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the show. I know it was a little bit heavy, but I'm glad that you got to hear from Paul and Kirk today. Next week, I will welcome pastor and author of Simplify the Message, Multiply the Impact, Talbot Davis will be here. I'm talking with Talbot about how one-point sermons might be more effective to impacting your people than longer sermon outlines. We'll discuss that next week on the show. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so or follow us on social. We would love to connect with you there. And go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.